Bonjour everyone, welcome back to this week's episode of the Magpie Channel podcast. Keg's here with me, yous are here with us. Get your comments below. We're going to run through the Aston Villa game last night. That was a good one, wasn't it?
That was nice, that was a little bit sexy. That
really was very sexy. And then we're going to talk through, it is transfer deadline day eve. Oh,
Christ, it is.
Not, we have
is
seen it? Someone. So keep your eyes peeled.
It's not deadline day.
Deadline day closes tomorrow. So you wouldn't know because now it's been happening. Would you? Not just with Newcastle.
It wouldn't matter.
With everyone. Yeah. And then we'll talk about the upcoming month. Newcastle need to try and kick on after a good couple of results. And then we'll preview this upcoming game, Saturday's game against Luton Town. Get your questions in the chat below and we will answer them towards the end of this podcast. We'll look, as always, to run for about an hour long, so get involved. Keg, how are we doing? Walk in, you all right?
I'm not too bad. I'm on the H2Os today.
Ooh,
so
sensible.
Yeah, I mean, could be better, like, but no, man, you
it
know.
Could be.
You know
it
what it is. You know what it is. It is what it is. Yeah. We're coming off the back of 3 points, so it's all right. It's all good.
It's all right.
Big rank.
I'm sure you had a few celebratory drinks last night, did you? Did you not?
Only one, because it's all I had left.
Yeah, at least three. For the goals that were scored.
It was the Christmas beers came to an end. I only had one bottle left, so just seeing that off and couldn't get out in the shop and get any more. So
you actually have to buy some beers for the first time
this
year.
Literally, that's probably since about middle of December. I haven't bought a single beverage since the middle of December. Because it's my birthday as well, Christmas Eve, so I've got double the amount.
That's so double helpings.
It's been a bit sexy, but yeah, we're all out. We're all dry now, so yeah, that's why I'm under water.
Dry January.
Bit of a
finishes.
Detox. Dry January start now.
Right then, let's dive straight in. Let's not waste any time. I'm buzzing to talk about this, the Aston Villa game last night.
Yeah.
You know, Aston Villa hadn't lost a Premier League game at home since February 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Went a long time unbeaten there at home. They were one of the highest scorers in the league at home. They've got the best defensive record in the league at home, joint Liverpool, until Fabian Shaw rocked up.
Until the Mags rocked up in Birmingham.
Got the brace in Birmingham, the Brummie brace. How was it for you last night? Because I said 2-1 in my preview. Optimistic that people were saying, oh, this is going to age well. It did, didn't it? Yeah, it did age well. Thank you very much. Because on our socials, a lot of people were like 4-0 Villa, 5-1 Villa. And it took, like I said, 2-1, and that was optimistic. But 3-1 in the end, what a result.
Yeah.
First time we've won at Villa Park since 2013.
I heard like the first goal was the first goal as well. We haven't
scored
a France goal.
Score,
that's mental. That what a mad start that is.
Boomy ground.
Yeah, but no, like I wouldn't have been as pessimistic as like a 5-0 or anything like that. But I didn't expect a win. Put it like that. I think a draw would have been a good result because, like you say, at home and overall in the league, Villa's been absolutely class. They've been one of the best informed teams in the league. They had a blip in the first week of the season to the mighty Mags, unfortunately for them. But yeah, since week one of the Premier League, they've been absolutely class at home. Like you say, I think I've seen it was 346 days or something since their last home defeat. So yeah. February last year, so coming up a full year without a home defeat. Yeah, their home form, amazing. Our away form, dreadful. Absolutely piss poor. I think that was only our second win of the season, was it?
Yes. Sheffield United 8-0, and then that was the second one.
Yeah.
Cubs have been alright, beat the Magpies, Man United. Mm-hmm. Fulham the other day.
Yeah, but even like overall form over the last month or so, like apart from the last couple of games, obviously beat Fulham and the Magpies, but other than that, well, overall form in the league's been a bit piss poor. So the matchup on paper, we were the underdogs massively.
100%.
Like, yeah, so I didn't expect much, like, and especially from last year as well, because we were in really good form last year at the tail end of the season, trying to push on, accumulate as many points as we could, make sure we seal that top four. Then we went to Villa Park, got beat 3-0. I didn't see that coming. I know they were in good form. Like the way Emery had them playing from, as you say, February onwards, it's absolutely class. So it wasn't against the run of play for them, but it was against the run of play for us. Like, we were pushing for that top four, and we weren't stopping. We were gunning for it. Then we got beat 3-0. It's like, whoa, where the fuck's that coming from? Did not see that one coming. So yeah, if we got beat 3-0 yesterday, I wouldn't have been shocked, to be honest with you. Like, I think a draw would have been a decent result, but to end up 3-0 up against them, madness. Absolutely class. Like, we needed that as well to kick on. Because like I said, the form recently has been poor, and we've got a big month coming up against some lesser teams who got beat off in December, who we shouldn't have. So we've got some wrongs to correct.
Revenge.
And there were two games on the bounce now. A very, very good win against Villa. I think since the Sunderland game, I think the Sunderland game's given away that kick up the arse that we needed, because we've only lost to Man City. And that was a decent performance as well, to be fair. Like, we're 2-1 really up against them. Only lost 1-0 to the champions. You know, 9 times out of 10, you take that. You lose by 1 goal to the champions, but you were up 2-1. That's fine. At least we performed well. If we got, if we were shit and we got battered, then fair enough, you could whinge about this. But we weren't shit and we didn't get battered. So, yeah, that's the only loss that we've had this, apart from Liverpool, since the Sunderland game. So, yeah, I think we're in good form now. So, beat Luton, which we should do, but we'll get onto that. And you got, like, the likes of Forest and the Everton's. Like, we just need to pick up this run because, yeah, the last month or two, form has been poor. So, yeah, hopefully this is the kickstart that we needed to get some points on the board.
Absolutely. And Eddie Howe said before the game last night on air, we can still get top four and people were laughing at him on social media. And again, for me, I think that, well, you never know the run that we could go on, but at the minute you would see it was a stretch.
Yeah, I wouldn't say top four.
What, we're 11 points off fifth or something at least. Yeah. So it's a big stretch. You need results to go your way. But the best way we can do that is build this momentum now.
Yeah,
we've had a great result in the FA Cup where we didn't play that well against Fulham, but got the job done. All that matters in cup football, we're in the hat for the next round. Yeah. Got Blackburn away. Again, you think, you look at that and you think, win that, we're in the quarters. Unbelievable stuff. But then the season, the Premier League is where it's at now. And now after the winter break, if we can build on that massively impressive win last night at Villa Park, we've got Luton Town at home on Saturday. We've got Forest away the following Saturday, which we won there last year. Great performance, great result.
Yep.
And then we've got Bournemouth at home.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three massively winnable games. And especially then we round it off with Arsenal, I think it is, at the end of February.
Which end of the month. Aye.
It's obviously going to be difficult. Got a good draw there last year, though. Mm-hmm. So if you can get the 9 points in the next three games, the table can be looking so different. I mean, it's already looking different. What, 10th last night, floating mid-table.
Yeah, we're 7th.
Yeah, I mean, we're 7th now.
Yeah, one win. I think it helped the Brighton got beat as well.
Thank you, Luton.
Yeah, well done, Luton. Not for Saturday, though, but...
Just go on the piss for the rest of the week. Yeah.
Have just it. Celebrate that one.
Enjoy it.
It's a lovely one. Enjoy
it. I'll buy you nothing but Guinness for you for the next 5 days. And then just have them, and then you can crack on. But aye, Luton, we'll talk about them in a minute, but... Really impressive win for them last night.
I didn't see that one coming to be honest. Like, that was a mad one.
Not at all.
Well done to them. Like, I root for Luton. I root for the underdog. Like, because let's face it, they shouldn't be in the Premier League.
Neither,
but that story is amazing. Like, it's a proper true underdog story, and I live for that shit. So every time Luton get a decent result, and unless it's against Newcastle, I love it.
Which they did.
Which they did. Hopefully not this weekend. But like 4-0. Like, Brighton's a class team. Brighton's one of the better teams in the league. And the proper full-on turn them over.
Absolutely destroyed them.
Absolutely class. I love
absolutely
that.
Destroyed them. I, the early goals definitely helped. Didn't they scored within like 20 seconds or something, didn't they?
2-0, 3 minutes.
2-3 minutes, aye. So, aye, Luton is the one where you look at it. We'll talk about that more soon. Let's focus on the Villa win in the case that we're making that the season is back on track then. Because a lot of people were saying, if we had a loss to Fulham, done. Season's finished now.
Yeah.
I didn't believe that at all, mate. Like, I said that in the
preview. It's premature. It's only fucking January.
I know. Does it work? What was it, like, 17, 18 games left?
Yeah.
Loads of points.
Everything else is out the way. Like, Champions League, FA Cup, Carabao Cup. All right. But I think I said last week, going out of a cup, you can find a silver lining because the less competitions that you're in, the more you can put all of your eggs into the last remaining basket, which is the league, which... we're always used to doing that, like Steve Bruce. Like, going out of the FA Cup, third round, I didn't mind. I wasn't even asked, because normally we're fighting relegation. I'd rather not
bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, I'd rather not get relegated than get to the fifth round of the FA Cup, which we eventually would have got put on by Man City or something anyway, so what's the fucking point? I think momentum's good, and we're in good stead. Got Championship Blackburn in the fifth round, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is the kickstart that we needed, and hopefully momentum can kick on, because that performance was thoroughly unexpected and absolutely class from everyone. Every player involved, I thought, had a really good game.
It was like it felt like Eddie Howe's mags were back for
last night,
wasn't it? That's the first time I've really seen us, and I think it's obviously helped having that winter break. You've had no midweek games as well. You've had actually a full set of training for the lads, where Eddie Howe has constantly said, throughout the season, because of Champions League and then the Carabao Cup run, we've never really been able to prepare for the games. Mm-hmm. We've had that practice on the pitch at the training ground. But now you can see that we're back at work, and you can see our identity again last night for me. A bit of formula, a bit of creativity there. I thought Anthony Gordon was unbelievable
he was on that left-hand side.
And even as the striker, he still did well enough.
Yeah.
And we've got to obviously talk about Jacob Murphy first of all, GCJ. Back at it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How good's he been? An unsung hero for me. Like, I mean, he's came back from his dislocated shoulder. Two games,
two wins back to back.
Yeah, even throughout last season, like I think Jacob Murphy's always been a bit of an unsung hero. Like I feel like even when he was signed, and I know he went through some tough spells, particularly under Brucey. Brucey didn't really fancy him, went out on loan a few times, but I always thought he was slightly underrated under Rafa. But he wasn't great. Like I always had a bit of a soft spot for him because he's a Toon fan and whatnot, and I quite liked him, although his performances never really reflected. Then he had a tough couple of years under Brucey. But I think since Eddie Howe, like I think he's been class. Like every time he's played, he's been mid. Like he's been really, really valued. Especially when he's had to like come in, because he doesn't always start. He's not like starting 11 quality. But even every so often last season, he played unexpectedly.
Got some breaking news again on the Mad Bike Challenge podcast. Same thing happened last week.
Yeah.
And this is out here now from the Telegraph. Are saying early indications are that Alexander Isak could be out for 2 to 4 weeks.
Oh, I didn't need that one, Barry. I think we should stop doing this podcast. Last week it was fucking...
What was the bad news?
Julian for the season. Isak, maybe it's up to 4 weeks, right? Cancel it now. I don't want to date it anymore.
Oh, my dears. It's shocking injury news yet again. That's just how I look. I said that last night. I put the tweet out saying, we are flying. Best we've played in ages. We're 2-0 up away to Villa. And then our striker, only striker, goes off injured. Do you know what I mean? It's just absolutely typical, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely typical.
I'm going to put that on the breaking news on the screen there so people can see it who are tuning in and realise what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But
I lost my train of thought there. I don't even know what I was rambling on.
Well, you are bigging up Jacob Murphy.
I was bigging up Jacob Murphy. But yeah, I always feel like he's been a bit of an unsung player. Like he's good squad depth. Like he's not the kind of player that you want to see start week in, week out. But when he does, when he gets a chance, he rarely blows it for me. Like, I don't think he really puts in bad performances. Like, he's a grafter. And I think supporting the club, I think that's a good thing as well. Like, he proper grafts for the club that he grew up supporting. Mm. And I love that he doesn't really get talked about highly enough. Like, I know he's not a born Geordie. I mean, he's half a Geordie. One of his parents is from Ashington.
We're counting it, though.
And he's a Toon fan. So, for me, I think he should be credited with, like, the Burns and the Dummets and the Longstaffs as, like, a Geordie boy, because he is, essentially. Like, he's a half Geordie and a Toon fan. Like, that's good enough for me.
Good enough for me,
he's one of the lads, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, I think that he is one of these players that he's not sexy. He doesn't really get you off your seat. Like, Murphy's in the starting line, like, oh, get in, Murphy, start.
It felt that way against Fulham, mate, because there was no one else as well.
But yeah, like, he's one of them players that he's fantastic squad depth, really, really underrated, massively unsung. So, yeah, thumbs up from me.
Thumbs up from me as well, double thumbs up. Mm-hmm. And he is definitely one of us. His passion is unbelievable, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see how much he loves it. You can see how much he means it.
In my house, like we don't even call him Murphy, we call him Shithouse Murphy. I said that when he played the other day. I was like, Shithouse is starting. when the goal was like, Shithouse. That's what we call him because he's a proper Shithouse. I love his character.
Yeah, Southampton
wave. Yeah, was it scored against, was it Tottenham or something, and he came off, you've gone down the tunnel and just give the camera like
when he did the old time on
he's a proper shithouse. Like, I absolutely love him. He's a class character.
I don't think he'd be that much of a shithouse either unless he was at Newcastle United. I think you can see he loves it. And I think he plays out of his skin for us. Like, I'm really glad to see him back. I think I'm gutted that the goal didn't get given towards him last night. Like, he should have done enough to finish it himself, mind. I think it was harsh.
Target,
I thought so.
I don't think that should have been put down as a known goal. I think it was going on target.
Well, I mean,
if it wasn't on target, then he needs fucking shot with shit because it was horrendous. But I think it was going to like nestle inside the far post. But for me, it was on target, so it's his goal.
Let's get on to that breaking news and touch on it a bit more for you lot at home. Alexander Isak is out for 2 to 4 weeks after coming off last night at Villa Park. A recurrence of his groin issue that we've seen 3 or 4 times now this season. And we're still waiting for scans to get full confirmation, but that is what the Telegraph are reporting is looking like. It could even be worse when the scans come back. Could even be worse. Could be better maybe, but I said at the time last night, he'll be out for at least a fortnight, I reckon, and that seems to be the case. So
hopefully it's the 2 weeks time scale and not the fall.
This sort of thing where we're saying, you know, Newcastle need that momentum. We've just lost definitely one of our best players, best player.
100%.
A player who's banging goals for us. His goal scoring ratio is phenomenal. But again, is it a worry that he's picked up another knock? He seems to be a bit of a Wilson 2.0 at this point. Like, you need both our strikers. They just kind of play. I'd love to get a full season out of one of them.
Yeah, no,
half a season. A run of about 10 games without one getting injured would be lovely.
Can you imagine how many goals they would literally score, like, if they were able to play like 38 Premier League games? Because Wilson scored 18 goals in all competitions last season. I think they were all Premier League, you know, to be fair, wasn't they? They scored 18 goals in the Premier League. Isaac, I think, got about 14 or something. He's on about 14 this season. Mm. Like, injury prone to fuck.
So injury prone.
Like, imagine if he got a full season out of them. Like, that's the more frustrating thing. Like, it is, like, I think he is, like, I know he's a younger model. I think Wilson's 31, Isaac's only, what, 23, 24, something like that. So, like, I think since he first signed, like, did he not get injured after, like, his second or third game or something, and he was out for months? Like, he is a bit injury prone, and it's, like, that's why we're more reflection that we need to sign someone. People always say we need to sign someone because Wilson's injury prone, but forget about Isaac and Arnold.
Both of them.
That's why I was saying last week, when you need at least three strikers, especially when your other two are injury prone.
Literally.
it's just common sense. Like, I don't understand why we only have two. Like, can nobody else see that we've only got two strikers and they're both injury prone? Am I the only one that sees that?
Do I need to give
fucking Eddie? Do I need to break into Alec Castle and be like, does anybody know we've got injured strikers?
These two can't complete more than a dozen games. Can we sign someone, please? I honestly bring back Papi Cissé at this point.
I'd fucking have anyone.
The thing is, these strikers were actually weaker since the takeover. Since the last window, we let Wood go.
Yeah.
And we're weaker now?
I don't think we should have sold Wood.
Well, not at this point, no.
I really don't. Like, I thought that was stupid because we're in the same situation. Like, we'll let go of Gale and then we'll let go of Wood. It's like, well, we're just back to square one here.
Went from four to technically zero strikers.
Yeah. Like, what was the point?
In the summer, I thought buying Barnes, who I really like Barnes, I'm really pleased with saying I can't wait for him to be back. Hopefully that's this weekend. But again, we've got Gordon on the left. You've got Miggy on the left, where his preferred position is. You think the priority would be a forward, a striker more than a winger.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Barnes, I know, would capitalise on Leicester's relegation, but you think 35, 40 million on him, I would have spent that on a striker because we've only got two. Both of them are always injured on and off.
Yeah.
And then they're classing Gordon as a third striker, which he did well last night, but we've seen how well he did in the first half and how well he's done this season from the flank, getting goals and assists. So I don't know. I just think that was a bit of a mistake from the recruitment team. And obviously at the minute, we're struggling with financial fair play and PSR.
Mm-hmm.
Is dead end is tomorrow. Eddie Howe said last night, no matter what Isak's injury is, he doesn't think we'll be able to sign anyone, which is insane.
Sound.
Insane. Yeah. Honestly, at this point, how can't we get someone on loan? How can't we get Mitrovic from Saudi? Or just Ekitiki is obviously linked with the move. It looks like he may end up with Frankfurt now. But somebody on loan, if you can't sign the striker, pay money for them. Get a loan.
Where's Hamza Choudhury when you need him?
Aye.
I don't understand, like, what's going on. Like, and now, like, say we need to sell players. Well, is it like loans? Like, unless it's like Calvin Phillips, and you got to be charged like $7 million for a 6-month loan, which is an absolute joke.
Aye.
Like, it cannot cost that much to get like just one striker in, even if it means loaning someone else, like Matt Target or something, like, loan Matt Target or someone out for the rest of the season, or someone else sort of on the fringes, like maybe he's Kraft or something like that. Like, why don't we like do like a reversal, like loan someone out so we can loan someone in? Like,
we got rid of Mancuso's wages.
Yeah, Mancuso's gone.
I mean, for me, you know what it is? I said it at the time. I think I may have said it last week actually on the podcast. Ben Brereton Diaz that went to Sheffield United. I would have took a punt on him. And he scored a belter last night.
There's loads of decent like
championship two goals. He's two games now.
There's loads of decent championship players that's worth a punt on, like, even if it is just an emergency 6-month loan. I know like it's going to be harder to do because they're not going to want to let them go, and they probably won't want to come because they know they're just kind of going to have the piss taken out of them a little bit, like being like a third choice striker just for an emergency. But that's pretty much what Chris Wood was really, and look how many games he got. Like, he played pretty much every single game for the second half of the season right up until the last two or three. So yeah, I think it's worth just taking a punt on anybody, like even just a young'un, just any young'un from any academy in, I don't know, City, Chelsea, Liverpool, like anyone who's available. Like, why don't we just give them a chance? Because they're gonna play. we need a striker. Like, anybody will do.
People in the comments here, get your recommendations in for who we could get on deadline day. Striker, obviously, we're still in midfielder. That looks very unlikely. But striker's got to come as a priority now because we're going to have zero strikers available on Saturday unless Wilson comes back. But then again, how long is he going to be back for?
Yeah,
like, they say, Wilson may come back against Luton. Yeah. He'll play two games, he'll be out for five again. So
yeah.
He's actually going to miss at least a handful of games as well. So in the comments, we've got Stevie saying Origi from Forest.
Divock Origi.
He doesn't get a game for Forest. I think they've released him now.
I was going to say, does he play for Forest?
I really can't get a game for him, so that's not a good sign.
That's mad. I was rated Origi. I always thought we should have signed him back in the day.
Get him in.
But if you can't get a game for Forest, that's lifting. I didn't even know he played for them.
Get Adebayo from Luton. Hat-trick hero last night.
Aye, absolutely. Get him in before Saturday.
Get him in before Saturday. Chris Wood special, that.
Aye, it is.
Just loaded. Take away the enemies.
Just loaded for 4 weeks.
Balogun. Not bad show, that, from Arsenal.
He went to France somewhere. He was playing Will Still last year on loan. I can't remember who he was. Who was he manager of again? Was it Rem? Something like that.
Aye.
Yeah, he didn't go to them. But yeah, he did sign permanent deal. I think it was like 30 million or something. But I'd absolutely definitely take him. Like, if it's like a 6 month loan deal.
Honestly, at the minute, anyone's better than no one for me.
We
don't have a striker.
Yeah.
So you can frown upon this and it. It might be one of them ones, but it feels a bit desperate at the minute.
No, yeah,
it is.
It really is, like back in the Ashley days. Like we are getting desperate. Trying to script £1 million a year for fucking Hamza Chowdhury. Like, it literally feels like we're back in them days. Like, we can't afford to loan anyone. What's going on?
It's mental, man, isn't it? I thought last night, with Isak coming off, that would be straight away like, poor.
We're
going to have to act.
Get someone on the phone.
Yeah, we're going to have to act. Half time, get someone on the phone now. We had 2 days. We've now got one. So let's try and get someone in there.
Yeah, because just over 24 hours.
It was bad enough, you know what I mean? The midfield situation, which we'll talk about now. Mm-hmm. We've only got three midfielders.
Yeah.
Until Willock and Anderson come back. And that Willock and Anderson thing applies like Callum Wilson, where
another week or two, right?
How long did they stay fit for? Yeah. Willock came back, scored against Man U, amazing. Couple of games, out again for months.
Yeah.
It's like rinse and repeat. So
he's Bruno, the one that can't stay fit.
The only midfielders we've got is what you've seen in your lineup predictions, nice and easy every week. Bruno and Mighty Longstaff. And Bruno's one booking away from a two-game suspension. So if that comes in, do you know what I mean? The midfield's going to be Joe White's going to come in, who's 21 from Carlisle, came back from Crewe Alexandra. Obviously, that young Travis has been on the bench the last couple of games. So Joe Linton being out for the season, I find it utterly mental that we haven't replaced. Yeah. I know the FFP and all of this, but you'd think the Saudi loan market or anyone on loan or the loan with an obligation to buy thing, like, it's must have been something we could have done.
Tied, like, what hands seem. people talk about this money and try and say, oh, Newcastle's buying the league, Newcastle, oh, they're ruining football, blah, blah, blah. What kind of fucking loan anyone? What are you talking about? And it would be absolutely lovely to just blast money. Like, right, we need a midfielder, bang, and sign one, wicked. Need a striker, bang, and get one, no worries.
Yeah.
Like, it would be absolutely class for going out and do that, but it's just realistically not possible. And you can clearly see it's not happening. We're 24 hours away from the window closing, and we've barely been linked with anyone. Let alone signing anyone. We haven't even been linked with anyone, which is mad for Newcastle, because we're always getting linked with some bugger right, left, and centre. It's just baffling. I really don't understand this FFP bollocks. Like, I kind of, it's just frustrating. All the when like Chelsea and Man City had their takeovers, there was no FFP loose rules, and they were just it was just free to spunk cash right left and center.
Yeah, no, it literally didn't exist.
Yeah, I know, it's mental. But as soon as Newcastle get their takeover, what about FFP? I didn't even know what FFP was.
It's a nightmare. It's not just us. It's expecting now in this window. Obviously, this will be the quietest, most boring transfer window in the history of transfer windows. Very little has happened. Very little money's been spent.
When Timo Werner on loan's the best signing that the Premier League's made.
Oh, my
days. That's an issue there.
That is a big issue. I'd take him this point.
I
would have took him. But let us see if anything happens on Dillian Day tomorrow. Unlikely, if you listen anyhow. But if the realisation's settling in now that Isak could be out for a month... And you know what Wilson's like? I kind of wrap my head around it. I'd be getting fucking Shearer out the away stand at this point.
Yeah,
Chop Ryan Allen, he was there.
Was he?
Right, both of them. Bring them back.
I haven't been able to get my head around it for the past since Wood left. Like, that's why I really don't think he should have left, because I knew that was leaving without the two strikers. And like I've always said, that's just not enough.
No.
And the fact that we're not even looking into getting one on loan, like, just absolutely scrambles my head.
It's bonkers that we thought our two strikers was enough with the Champions League and everything.
Yeah, literally.
Especially with, you know, have you had like a Mr. Reliable, like a striker that can complete seasons?
Mm.
We haven't got that. We knew what Wilson's all about. Yeah, he's full career. He's been like this.
Even now, he's like in his early 20s. We can't stay fit.
No. Not a good thing going forward, really. Like, as amazing as he is. And as amazing as Callum is, you know, he's a brilliant finisher. But, oh, dear. Dear, oh, dear. One player that is staying, though, after all this window, and this is one of the big reasons we're not seeing anyone, because of FFP, we're trying to sell someone, to buy someone, like Eels has said. Mm-hmm. That man was Miguel Almirón. He didn't want to go to Saudi. Apparently, the clubs had agreed a fee with Al-Shabaab. He didn't fancy it. He stayed. And last night, a bit of a point of prover, I reckon, didn't he? When he came on.
Yeah.
Right. Quality, to be fair. Really good. Yeah, on his preferred left as well.
Yeah, and that just makes so much sense to me. I had a bit of a rant about him last week, and a lot of people disagreed. Like, people still like him out there. I don't know why. But
last season, his goals and that, though. He was good last season.
It was just a purple patch, though. It was literally 2 months.
Yeah.
2 months out of the, like, 4 years he's been here. He's got a few goals already. Class, I work at Newry's. But, yeah, like, that's just always been my frustration. And I had a rant about his left foot playing on the right, not being able to use his right foot. Does me head in. But that assist from Murphy was exactly why he should be over there. Like, it was just so easy for him. Mm. Like, just ball in, one touch, bang, left foot. Like, if that was on the other side, that goal doesn't happen.
No.
Because he would have had to have taken a touch,
pulled it back,
pulled in, then by the time he's done that, all the defenders have got back, and you've got a wall, and you can't get past them.
And he can't have a throw.
Yeah, or Murphy's runs, like, he's had, like, Holly's run, that he can't run too far, if Almirón's had to cut in, or he tries, like, an outside foot left curler or whatever like that, but I don't think he's got that ability in him. But, yeah, that's why he should be over there. And, like, I know, like, he's good at, like, cutting in and taking a shot, but he's a wide player. I'd rather my wide player got 10 assists a season than 10 goals.
Yeah.
Like, literally. Score all the goals that you want. You're a winger.
Yeah,
like,
I want the one in the middle of the box to be feeding off.
Yeah. I don't care how much you can cut in on your left and take a shot. Like, I'd rather you just whip the cross in and have a striker get on the end of it. Like, that's your job. Literally. Do your job.
Do your job, mate. Well, last night he did do his job, and that was the thing on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Straight in. No messing about. First time ball. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll change, though, going forward? Because, well, to be fair, it's got to. I suppose on Saturday,
As it stands, that would be my front three. Murphy on the left, Miggy on the right, and Gordon up top. Like, that's the only thing that I can possibly think of right now.
Yeah, that's the way it's got to look. To be fair, there's not going to be many options. Again, that's mad, though, because what happens if Gordon pulls up? And then we're literally that third-choice striker that we're playing with. And we're going to have Ndoueni or something off the youngins coming through.
Yeah.
Parkinson.
Ben Parkinson will be starting. No, that's left that. I mean, I'm all for the young'uns getting a start. Like, and like, look at Lewis Miley. Like, you don't know how good someone is until you give them a chance. Like,
exactly.
You need to see, like, what they can do before you start slagging someone off. But on paper, it just doesn't look great. So having Ben's played this, never played before, like, forcing to come in because we haven't got enough squad depth. Like, it's literally Ashley Brucey 2.0.
No,
it's crazy.
It is. Like, when you look at it, you think, I'm worried in that sense, like, where we've got the FA Cup coming up, it's the only midweek game. You'd hope that a Saturday would give us that relief where at least bloody Wilson or one of them is going to be fit to play. But honestly, I just, you know, if this was the middle of February, I'd be like, oh, I wish it was still the transfer window, so we'd do something about it. I just kind of wrap my head around that there's got to be some striker out there that we can sign, man. There's got to be somebody out there.
I'd go for Ekitike if we could, like. And I said he's gone to, where was it?
Frankfurt. He was linked to earlier. Like, I'll see if there's been any updates, but a few hours ago.
I'd take Ekitike. Like, I've always said we shouldn't go for Ekitike. Like,
well, we tried, didn't he? Turn me down.
Even if it is. But now, like, yeah, he turned me down twice when he was younger. I think he was only 18 when we were going in for him, and he was still at, like, his hometown club, was happy to play there, so he rejected the first time. Then second time he rejected to go to PSG, which I can understand because he's French, staying in his home country. He's still young. He didn't want to move from home, but at least at PSG, he's staying in his home country. He can still be close to his parents or whatever. And on top of that, he's playing for one of the best teams in the world. He's playing with Mbappe and stuff. So
yeah, I don't get a game.
I don't blame you for wanting to go to PSG instead of Newcastle, especially at that time, because we haven't gone in for him since we've been good. Last time we went in for him was last summer's transfer window before our top four push. Like, last time we went in for him, we just finished the season 11th in the league. But we just scraped relegation where we were fighting it all season. So I don't blame him for turning me down at all.
Neither.
But now it's like 2 years later, he's a little bit older. He had his opportunity at PSG and flunked it. He hasn't been great and they want rid of him now. They're not our keen on him. Hopefully you can see what we've done. We've pushed on. We've played Champions League. We'll fucking beat PSG now.
It'd be good. He didn't come now.
Yeah. Like,
I would have been watching the stands at PSG.
Like, That could be on the other end of this, man. Damn, get me agent on the phone. But I think that could be his mindset now. He's 2 years older now. He's maybe he's a bit more mature. He's seen what Newcastle can do. We beat PSG in the Champions League. Mm. So maybe he's more keen on the move and maybe he's better for it. So I'm all for it. Like, I think we've done my scouting and I trust the scouting team. I trust like Dan Ashworth. If we went in from twice, they've obviously seen something in him. He's obviously a player that they think can work in our system or we can develop him like Livermento or Lewis Hall or something like that. So if he was that good 2 years ago, reassess things, see if he's still on that trajectory and if you still agree that he can be worthy for our team, can't get him.
He's been hanging around in Batley for 2 years. Should
exactly.
be getting better.
Exactly.
Should we learn a thing or two? Yeah. I'd get better if I was hanging around.
I think he'd be a brilliant signer for us. Like I really do. And like I said, we're desperate for a striker, so literally anyone will do.
And he's got age on his side. I think how could improve him.
Yeah,
I think how obviously likes him in the first years because he has that versatility where he can play across the front line.
He can play
down the middle. He can play out wide if there was an injury to Murphy or whatever. So it's a win-win. I think we should be.
That is, yeah.
It's unknown. It's risk-free.
It is.
If it doesn't work out, you just like sound well.
Harry Gambach.
She has for a few months, but there you go.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If he's going to go to Frankfurt as well, PSG are like pushing him out the door. Nothing's been updated from 5 hours ago where they're in talks with Frankfurt, and it's likely he could be getting a deadline day move.
Mm-hmm.
We should be on that straight away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Amanda should be on the phone saying, Hugo, remember me? Fancy it now?
He's someone we've already scouted, someone we've already spoke to, someone we've already agreed to deal with.
Right.
So you knew he was keen back then. He just probably had second thoughts about his age and leaving home and whatever. It's 2 years later, like, we've already done our scouting. We've already agreed it. He agreed to come. We agreed to sign him. He's available. What's so hard?
No. I can't get any
When's the next Anakin meeting? I'm going to fucking
We're getting there. Yeah, we're getting there. Like, next time we're there, like, I'm going to fall mad at that.
I'm going to be like, just stop oil. So just sign somebody.
Just sign somebody, aren't you? Just sign someone oil. Look at that on the T-shirts. God almighty. Well, to be fair, Newcastle have signed someone.
Oh, yes,
Richie Ramone, 2 hours ago.
Newcastle
United as a club haven't officially announced it yet, I don't think. Maybe on the website the other day, someone said, but I didn't see it.
No.
But Newcastle have signed the formal documents for Alfie Harrison, and he is set to join from Man City. Understand the contract is valid until June 2027, with an option of a further season. Newcastle convinced of his potential for the present and the future.
Present?
I would imagine it would have been the future, but considering we've got the midfielders, as soon as Bruno gets a suspension, desperate. Alfie Haaland will be in the middle of the park for it, because he looks like Haaland. But he'll be chucked in probably at the minute. Yeah. And I was speaking to Big Steve, Big Him Up, the YouTuber, and he's devastated that he's left.
Oh, really?
He's like, he is amazing. Mm. He says he can't believe City are letting him go.
Oh, really?
And it must be some sort of internal matter, Rashford thing or something.
Mm.
But I mean, he didn't say that, but you're just guessing that something's happened there because there's no way. He's like, I can't believe City let a talent go like this. He says it's not one of them ones where they've got a brilliant academy.
Yeah.
And it's someone you think, oh, well, yeah, he's good, but we'll let him go. Yeah. He's like, this guy is class. He's going to be unreal. So,
because you made the point last season, like, if he was that good, why would City let him go?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was speaking to Steve, and Steve was like, I think something's obviously went on behind closed doors or something, disagreement or whatever. And he's
hopefully he's not like a troublemaker.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully he's not someone that's going to whinge about contracts and like refuse transfers, like demand transfers, or refuse to sign contract, or refuse to play unless I get blah, blah, blah. Like the way modern footballers do, little prima donnas with his ponytail. Hopefully he's not that kind of kid. Like, hopefully he just knuckles down and cracks on and like they could play. Like, I think he's one for the future mainly. Like, I don't see him being in the first team for a couple of years, but like you say, we're desperate for midfielders, so who knows?
Miley 2.0.
Yeah, maybe so.
Miley 2.0. So that's about it for transfer news. Lastly, we'll finish on, could we see any outgoings tomorrow? Though Lascelles has been linked, hasn't he, to Besiktas for a while. He's been in and out. He's been out of the team the last couple of games. Apparently injury. There was a lot of rumours that wasn't the case, but it looks like now it's going to happen. Basically,
I think more would be done. Like, if I'm assuming, like, if nothing was done, medicals and stuff would be here, but Turkey's a long way. It's not like a 2 hour flight. Like, it's a bit of a trek to Turkey. So with the transfer window closing in just over 24 hours, you would have thought more would be done at this stage. I can't say like anything happening last minute to go to Turkey.
Aye.
Like, yeah, it would be done by now, or at least like in like advanced stages.
Yeah, you would have thought so. Like, but Did you think it was a coincidence that he's obviously been out of the team, or do you think people are reading into that too much?
Yeah, I think they are. I think that's always the case. Like, I think, like, unless you don't know what's going on behind closed doors, like, people might be pushing for a transfer. But I don't think Lascelles is like that. I think Lascelles... No.
Captain, man.
Lascelles is loyal. He really is. He's a loyal, firm captain. Like, he's hasn't got that mentality. He's not going to refuse to play because there's transfer rumours. Like, yeah. if there's a chance to play, he'll play. He'll always put the club first, and that's what makes him the captain that he is. Mm. So, yeah, I think people are reading it back too much. I genuinely believe he's injured and he just can't play.
Do you think he's going to get a new deal? Because this is the talk of why we're going to let him go, because obviously his contract's expiring, isn't it?
I wouldn't be surprised, because over the last couple of years, we've signed people that I wasn't expecting. Like, 2 years ago, and it worked out massively, to be fair, but I wasn't so sure we would have re-signed Longstaff. And at that time, I wasn't 100% sure he deserved it. Mm. But we've signed Dummett to one-year deals for the last 2 years in a row, and we've also extended Richie as well. So I think Lascelles is more valuable than them two. Like, I think he is a good player still. We've seen it this season when Shaw was out. Like, he's proved his worth. He's still got it. And he's a brilliant voice in the dressing room. He's a tremendous leader. So he's a lot more valuable for me than what Richie and Dummett are. And if them two can get new contracts, then he probably deserves one now. Not a long-term deal. I'm not saying sign to a three-year deal, but maybe it's a one-year deal and then
rolling.
See where he's at. Yeah, like, if he wants to leave, let him do it. I think he's served his time. He's been a brilliant servant for us. Oh, so if really he has. Wants to leave, do the honourable thing and let him walk. But I think just put the ball in his hands. If he wants to stay... we'll sign you to a one-year deal. If you want to see what's out there, then test free agency and see what happens.
No, I think that's a good idea. If he's aware, which I'm sure he is, because that's been the case the last couple of years, he knows he's a squad player now. He knows he's not going to start. But when he has came in, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
So if he knows that's still the crack going forward,
and he's happy to do that,
Then brilliant. I sign him up, because I think he's really surprised me. Like, when he's came back.
Oh,
in.
Oh yeah, 100%. But he's been off rotten.
Oh, I would do. Because he'd look like a rock for like a couple of months, and then he'd just have a flop.
He's one of every single player that still like had who experienced all three managers. Like he, along with Shaw, along with everyone else, maybe even Miggy. Everyone was decent under Rafa, shit under Brucey, and then came back good again under Eddie Howe. Mm. Like, and Lascelles and Shaw are the epitome of that. Like, absolutely woeful shit. Absolute dog shit under Steve Bruce. But class under Rafa, class under Eddie Howe.
Exactly, yeah. He was classic. I mean, Eddie Howe is just... I think it's helped him with being around other people as well. Like, so Trippier, and that's probably rubbing off on him. And I think he's been unbelievable. Just came in, so I'd be more than happy to keep him as a squad player.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously, a centre back. We'll keep on getting linked with centre backs as well to bring in.
We could do a one. We could definitely upgrade Lascelles. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Like, if we want to sign somebody, but I think everyone's more interested in replacing Shaw. But
why the hell would you do that?
Yeah, it's just
sign Wayne.
Yeah, it's just
better every week.
Just squad depth for me. Like,
maybe if you get Europe.
Yeah, you can maybe do better than Shaw. Like, you know, I think you could always look to upgrade. Like, for me, no one's irreplaceable. I think if FFP wasn't here and we've got all this money and you want to improve your team, for me, no one's irreplaceable. No. Not a single player in that squad for me is irreplaceable if we had the money to replace them with someone better.
Mm.
As much as I like certain characters, like I like Shaw, and now I wouldn't want to see him get replaced, but if we're going to sign someone better, then why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, like we need squad depth. I've always banged on about squad depth. I think it's massively important, hugely underrated, especially if you want to try and compete in Europe. So, yeah, like Lascelles is our next best right-sided centre-back. And as good as we've said that he's been under Eddie Howe, could he improve on him? Of course he could.
Mm.
He's not that good. Like, he's filled in a slot when you've needed him to, but of course he could upgrade him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like that's where I would look to improve the squad. Not necessarily replacing Shaw, but replace Lascelles first and then see where we'll go from there.
Unless you put Shaw up top. With all that goal scoring.
Get him a hat-trick next week.
He was asked that last night after the game, actually, Eddie Howe. I seen it today on YouTube. He was asked, you know, could you use Shaw as a striker the way you've gotten on fit at the minute? He was like, to be fair, I probably could actually use a good idea.
Yeah.
Eddie Howe was like, he's that technical. Yeah. He's a goal-scoring defender. I would trust him up top. Imagine how class that would be just in the team news. And Shaw was just fucking number 9 up front, man.
there's a tight bow there.
I'm sure up top, man. Sure in the middle of Gordon and Murphy.
Crazy. People always used to say, like, you should play DM or centre mid because, like, he is technical.
That triangle.
Yeah, he's very good on the ball. Like, he always likes to try them Ramos runs. Like, he is very good
on
the
ball.
Did
it last night in the 85th minute or something? He's bombing forward.
He's technical on the ball. He can shoot from distance. So, yeah, like, I'm not saying we should put him up front. That's a bit over elaborate. But
this point.
Yeah, but, like, people always used to say, like, oh, we should put Shar in midfield. Like, it sounds stupid, but could work. He could do it. Like, Eddie Howe says, he is that technical. He is a very, very good footballer.
Last night, two goals in the box. Yeah. I mean, Fabian Shearer. Come here. Sure, yeah. Right then, get your comments in. People, we're 40 minutes in. Please do like and subscribe if you haven't already. Get your comments in. We'll go for another 5-10 minutes or so. We'll wrap up with a look ahead to Saturday's game then. Because winning at a Villa Park on a Tuesday night is amazing. But if it comes to Saturday, 3 o'clock at St. James's, and you fluff your lines like we did against Forest, it means F all in the end, doesn't it? It really puts it down on it.
Yeah.
But Luton at home, I was going to say it's a banter, but it's not really.
No,
because
it's absolutely
not. I know Luton Town are a different animal at Kenilworth Road because Kenilworth Road's a different animal. You know, it's a crazy stadium that anyone's ever seen before in their life.
Is different,
yeah. None of these Premier League teams expect to go to the Domino's Oak Stand. Do you know what I mean? But now they come to St. James's. And they'll be full of confidence, smashing Brighton 4-0, coming up here. Loads of these players will be like, this is why we want to get the Premier League. We want to play in amazing stadiums like St. James Park. And they'll go there as the underdogs. Free hit for them, really, and flying high, clean sheet and banging the goals.
Not to lose, really, for them, yeah. But like, it is one that we've got to like approach with caution because, like I say, on paper, it should be a piece of piss. We should absolutely roll them over. But is it the beat Everton... Brighton, it was a very, very good team, and not
really
just beat
side.
Them, beat them 4-0, an emphatic win.
Embarrassed them.
And beat us away as well. Like, so they're not pushovers by any stretch of the imagination. Like, they're a decent team. Like, I think teams like that you need to be cautious about, I think, because people don't know a whole lot about them, and like they see them as being not very good, so I will just roll them over. But they're the teams you need to be careful for.
Big time.
Yeah, so they've already beat us just last month. I think it was just before Christmas, wasn't it? 23rd.
Yeah. Christmas Eve Eve.
Yeah, Christmas Eve's Eves. And they're capable of beating a team like Brighton, so they're absolutely no pushovers. But I do believe we'll beat them. I think there's three main factors. One being revenge. Because the beat were last month when we really shouldn't have, so we'll be gunning for it.
We will
absolutely need to. Our form, like, we've got two good wins on a row. Like, I know back when we lost to Luton, we were in bad form, and that bad form continued for another couple of weeks. But now we've got a couple of wins, we've got a bit of confidence, a bit of momentum behind it. So we'll go for that. And the third factor, being at home, as I say, St. James is a different animal. But our form at home hasn't been bad this season. Away, it's been shocking. Yeah. But at home, it's decent.
It was only bad till the Forest game, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I know, they'll be happy with their result against Brighton and they'll want to come gunning for us. But I think them three factors should be enough to see us through.
Yeah, you think the home crowd, good old-fashioned Saturday at 3 o'clock. It's been like a month since we played and you touched on it earlier. Yes, it was a defeat of City, but it was a brilliant performance.
Oh, yeah.
And do you know what I mean? That's what can happen at home. That's what can carry us over the line. Listen, Luton are a danger. Anders Townsend may come back to St. James Park. Adebayo off the back of a hat-trick. Yeah. Ross Barkley's rolling back the years. What's going on?
It's FIFA 12.
Jesus, I'm taking me. Like, I'd be sad to be saying
Tim Crew
hasn't got a day.
Tim Crew's
on the bench, man.
Throughout that FIFA 12 vibes.
But what Luton away from home, you know, they have conceded a few goals. They can be got at. I'm thinking we're going to do well this game. Like, I think we'll get a big win.
I hope it's a big win. I'm not confident on a big win, but I am confident of a win. Whatever, a win's a win in my eyes, whatever it is. But if we win well with a great performance, a big win, I'll be absolutely buzzing with that. Now, I'll take that as another big step, like beating Villa, an emphatic win against Villa 4-1. If we're able to beat like Luton, like 3-1, sorry. If we're able to beat Luton like 4-0 or something, I'll absolutely be buzzing with that. Like, yeah, like 2-0 or 2-1, I'd take it because it's 3 points on the board, but I think we have got enough in the chamber to go out and do like a 3-0, 4-0.
I think we do. I'm going to go on big me. Like, I had just before I fell asleep last night, it came to us.
A vision.
5-1.
Oh! Did it wake you up?
I was still awake. Couldn't get asleep. Got too excited, sort of thing. I'll play the goals in my head. Harvey Barnes is going to score. Harvey Barnes is rumoured to be back this weekend. Ooh. And what a boost that would be from the bench, I'm saying. Just like you did against Aston Villa, which is also 5-1.
Yes, it was.
So, yeah, I fancy Harvey Barnes come off the bench. I fancy Miggy to score, Murphy to score again.
Ooh.
Shaw hat-trick. So, I tell you what, a midfielder's due a goal. A Bruno is due a goal. Something like that, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? It's been a while. Longstaff scored against Fulham, obviously.
See Miley back on the score sheet. Get his second of the season.
Yeah,
nice.
Scored against Fulham. I'm going to go for a big 5-1 win, and then the table could be looking juicy. I need to have a look at the fixtures this weekend and actually see who in and around us is playing when.
If Brighton lose again, that would be nice, because I think we're tied with Brighton. I think we're even on points, just with a bit of goal difference, if I'm not wrong. Maybe it's a point ahead, I'm not sure.
At the minute, we are 7th, level on points, but our goal difference is a lot better.
Yeah.
Obviously, that 8-0 against Sheffield United just saw us out before season. 3 points off West Ham in 6th, and 8 points off Spurs in 5th, which at the minute, 5th would get you a Champions League place with that coefficiency rule. So that would be amazing. So let's see who Spurs, West Ham and Brighton have got this weekend. Also, Man United, who play tomorrow night. Everyone's playing. Not everyone, sorry. A couple of teams are playing tonight as well. You've got Spurs are getting beat off Brentford right now. They don't need Brentford.
Come on, Brentford.
Neil Mopey, he's on fire at the minute, isn't he? Man City 0-0 with Burnley, and Liverpool are playing Chelsea at 8:15. Wolves, Man United tomorrow. So let's go for a Wolves win. West Ham. We're having Bournemouth. So West Ham could get a win there and increase that gap a little bit. But on the weekend, Brighton are at home to Palace. Derby.
Oh, nice.
Derby for them. The motorway derby.
It's a stupid derby.
Yeah, that's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. West Brom to come up against Wolves. That's a proper derby. West Ham away to Man U on Sunday. That's a tasty game. Ooh, nice. Arsenal Liverpool on Sunday. That's a super Sunday right there.
Sexy.
So Newcastle do their job against Luton Town, and we'll still be in that European mix, which is the mix you want to be mixing in.
It's a nice mix. I like it.
Good pick and mix, that one.
Yeah. I don't know about league finish this season. Like, I don't think we'll get top four, and I don't want to say we shouldn't be aiming for it, but I think realistically we kind of know that we'll probably not get there, especially since, because like last season, like obviously I don't want to take the shine away from Newcastle, but Liverpool slipped up early. Like, they were shit at the beginning of the season and ended up hotting my tails at the end, but it was an off year for Liverpool, and Chelsea and Tottenham were shit as well. So now it's a bit of a different year. Like, Liverpool's much better and you've got other people up there. Like, yeah, Arsenal's doing well again, City. So I think the league's harder this year. Spurs are doing decent. So it's a harder league this year. So if we finished 5th or 6th, I'd be buzzing. I say 5th could get with Champions League, I think, depending on if someone else does well. So if Man City win the Champions League or something again, I think that's how it works. It rolls down or something like that. So yeah, go on, City. Can do it for the boys.
Indeed. I City or Arsenal get far in the Champions League and we'll get there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think at the minute it's looking like La Liga and Premier League will get that 5th spot.
Yeah.
Us to Man United didn't do any favours. Like, if we had got through, we would have pushed it. But at the minute, 5th is getting Champions League.
Yeah.
We are 8 points off at the minute. That's doable for me. Like, 4th, 11 points. Bit of a stretch for me. I can't see them. I think top fours, I can't see teams falling off that much.
No. Yeah, it would take a miracle. Like, we'd have to go on mad form at this back end of the season and hope, like, one or two teams start slipping up. Like Tottenham and whoever else. I don't know.
Arsenal probably. Yeah. Man City, Liverpool going to be neck and neck. Arsenal, Tottenham, you think. I think Villa are showing signs of fleetering away.
Yeah.
West Ham have got Europe still as well. So I can't see them doing it for me. Like, but you never know, though. Klopp's leaving.
Aye.
Can go one way or another, that.
Could do,
can
aye.
Go one way or another, that one. They might fight for him and they might get, or might get too emotional and they might just... Jürgen Flop. Flopsies. CM Legion, get your questions in, people. We're finishing off now. Last couple of minutes. Get your questions in. He's asking, Matty, are you doing your talking at Pumphreys this weekend? I am indeed. Every home game at Pumphreys on the big market an hour or so before kickoff. Give people plenty of time to get through those electronic turnstiles. Not a bit of a nightmare for everyone, aren't they?
Shit, then, mate.
So, I'll be at Pumphreys probably about 2 o'clock on Saturday. So, looking forward to getting back to Pumphreys. Feels like it's been a long time. Do a pre-match chat there. We'll have a crack before the game. Let's go up and see. We'll go back to the very top, to be fair, and see if there's any questions.
That's where it starts.
Take it back to the beginning. Lewis was asking, Matty, would you have taken Brenton Diaz as a striker? Absolutely. I mentioned him last week.
You mentioned him before.
And then at the start of this one, he scored 2 and 2 since then.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you have as a right winger out of Mbeumo, Solly March, or Elise. Elise for me. Yeah. See his goal yesterday, man.
I didn't actually know, but yeah, I do like him.
He is sensational.
I need to watch them highlights because I haven't seen any of yesterday's goals. But I do like
Elise. Ricky, and that was Palace Sheffield United 3-2. Barrington Diaz scored a fantastic goal, and Elise and Eze were just, they're literally going to keep Palace up single-handedly.
They are good, but it's mad that they had Zaha there as well. They had, three, really good, wingers, but now Zaha's moved on. He's older than people think he is. People still think he's really young, but he's, 30, 31 now. Aye. Them two, the younger lads, the two coming through to replace him, either side, they're absolutely mid.
Yeah, literally, both scoring unbelievable goals, both setting each other up.
Wasn't it Chelsea in for him? Wasn't he going to sign for Chelsea? He'd had a deadline day deal with Green.
I did. I
think the last minute he turned back. And I was 50 million or something like that. They were going to spend big on him, but he had a last minute change of heart and thought, he's going to stay. Which is fair play for him. I respect that.
Want that game time.
Yeah, because he wouldn't have played for Chelsea.
Surely you're moving this summer, though. Surely.
Most likely, yeah.
Eddie needs to play Shaw up front, is what a few people are saying. Someone's saying I'd put Alfie Harrison on the bench, since we've usually got two keepers on there anyway. We haven't the last couple of games had two keepers, but we have had teenagers. Obviously, Travis has replaced the second choice keeper. Karius was getting ready last night. Two or three teams, running, jacket on, jacket off, when Dubravka went down twice.
Oh, God.
He's good he didn't get his moment. Jeff says, Matty, take your boots on Saturday. You'll get a game. Damn right, I would.
Number nine. Put your rent killer.
I'll be offside for 9 out of 10 goals. Me, cancel the video that day and I'll be all right. Cancel the video that day and go with him and rent you'll be all right. We're in the old Trouty game next month, don't we?
Yeah.
Getting the laces back on, to be fair. We're going to have to get in touch with Adidas. Get the new print sent. Goals. Get the Predator boot sent, Adidas. Thank you very much. We'll get that ready.
Signature head coming in.
I'm going to stop getting some practice in, to be fair.
I said that last year and I didn't.
Last time I played was 2 years ago. Last time we did a game and I was knackered after about 37 seconds.
Yeah, that's why I went and goal.
Clever, I think. More information on that
shotgun goalkeeper
match coming up soon. Looking forward to that. A lot of people just obviously talking about Isak's injury. If he did miss it, it is a rumour that he's going to be out for 2 to 4 weeks, according to the Telegraph. Luke Edwards tweeted that earlier on. Newcastle United are still waiting for scans on the striker, but that is looking the case. Stevie's saying Che Adams is rubbish, but he would do. He's rubbish, but he would do. You know why he would do? Because there's nobody else.
Yeah, we said we need somebody. Anybody's better than nobody, so I don't think
Jams
is that bad.
Like,
it's a fair
choice, right? As a hold-up player as well. Goal scorer, not so much, but hold up the ball, get wingers involved.
If we were scraping the bottom of the barrel, I'd absolutely take Jay Adams.
Yeah, I feel like you said last week, this is 2019, it is now. Hmm? This is actually cracked. It's
Yeah, really.
What about Shola? Hasn't lost any pace. Didn't have any first place to lose.
He's got more hair.
Never
had as much hair.
Let's find out the last couple of comments then. The last
Get some questions in, lads.
Last couple of questions. We'll try and round up to an hour. We're 53 minutes in. Off topic, says Chris.
Oh, I like an off topic one.
Have you heard anything about finding a new site for a state-of-the-art training ground? You know, with them training grounds, have you?
I know, with them training grounds, but no.
Keg's been visiting them all week, man.
Yeah, I've been there right left and centre. but no, I haven't. I know we're talking about a potential new stadium, and I heard that it could be on the HMRC Benton Park site. Or on the Town Moor. I think they were the top two new stadium sites. But in terms of a training ground, I haven't heard nout. But we just improved, haven't we? Did we not spend a million or so on improving the training ground?
A bit million, eh?
So, yeah, I don't think we'll be going anywhere for a couple of years.
No, the plan is to find somewhere to build the baseline, but it would take years.
It would take years to build a training ground.
Yeah, especially the standards of Spurs's or Leicester's.
Yeah.
Definitely, obviously, Daniels has mentioned it a few times that they're looking into it. They want to do it. Man of Stavely said, obviously, it's not just that easy trying to pluck a good.
Trying to find land. It's easy to come by.
Obviously, the rumour massively was the racecourse, wasn't it? Parklands.
Oh, yeah.
They got the racecourse, the golf course area, a lot of land there that was up for grabs. I'm not sure how they got on with that, to be honest with you, Chris, but. I'm sure something will just come out of the blue and hopefully soon they won't all get excited because then you'll start seeing the blueprint for it.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, it's so important this year. Because we were joking at the time, remember when we were saying Trippier had the first instance to take over. And we were like, he must be thinking, what the hell's happening here? I'm rocking up to like a primary school B&Q or something. The state of that, it's improved now. Yeah, it looks nice, but let's be honest, it's still not great. It's still not Premier League quality. It's modern now. It's got all the fancy touches.
Nice, but yeah.
But it's compared still to, tiny, man.
It's not state of the art.
For some reason, this thing came up on my Facebook the other day. Do you know when you get recommended posts and stuff? And it was a Tottenham one, because I think it went viral, to be fair. And it was like, Tottenham players were walking the training ground. And they were like, oh, who's the most famous person in your phone book? And can you ring them and see if
they're
inside?
Yeah.
Like Vernon Madison that were on there. And I was like, wow, that training ground looks immense. It looks unbelievable. And you just look at ours and it just looks like a shed. And you're just like, what's going on?
I even argue that the Academy of Light probably looks better than ours.
Aye. Well, literally, Middlesbrough got a better training ground than us.
Yeah.
Right. Mental. Obviously, Leicester in the Championship, who are probably going to come back up. Aye. You need to improve that, because that first impression is huge. I mean, Sandro Tonali, when he came from Milan, and he's turned up, he must be thinking, guy. Is this the other one under construction?
But it is as well. Like, if you are trying to like entice people that are from like a top European club, even like a top Premier League club who's got like top facilities, like that's kind of part of the attraction. Like normally, like before the medical happens, you take them on a tour of the stadium, you take them on a tour of the training ground. Like if they don't like what they see, they might be calling the area.
Oh,
like, is it too late to back out yet? This is a fucking shithole.
Because that's their place of work, you know.
Is this League One? Is this Premier League or is this fucking League One? Like, what's going on here? Like, this is lifting.
You know, have you gone to work in a call centre and you've got a couple to choose from, you know? You're like, well, I don't know how
nice
to choose here.
Nice sofas.
Yeah, you go to one office and it's got, you know, nicely decorated walls, big screens you can watch on your break. You've got a nice fan on your desk. You got the other one, it's miserable, there's spiders in the corner, your laptop's dusty, the vending machines don't work. You're like, well, I'm choosing the first one. I'm not coming here.
Absolutely.
Same thing, kind of. Time to get Ronaldo in.
Hey, mate, why not? Test that Saudi market.
You never would mind, like.
Yeah.
Benzema, he's been away available, hasn't he? I'd love $3 million a week, like, so that's a bit of an issue.
Yeah, but it's not though, is it? Like, if you think about it, because we're already paying his wages.
Aye.
Like, the people that pay Newcastle's wages are the same people that pay the top four Saudi teams' wages. So, technically, it's...
I can't believe we're not capitalising on these people. It's insane.
It doesn't make sense. Like, so, yeah, they're already on the payroll. Like, they're not changing anything. They can still keep that same contract because we're already paying them anyway. So, yeah, it doesn't... I really don't see why that matters. Like, if he wants to keep the same contract that he's on at... it's not Al Nassr, is it?
Ali, isn't it? No, Al... Oh, God, what's the other
one? Of them, anyway. But, yeah, like, they're...
I think it is Ali, isn't it?
It's not Etihad.
Is it? The yellow and black strip, isn't it?
The one that Kante plays for. Who cares? but basically paying his wages anyway, so I really don't get why it matters. So you're just signing one contract to another, just keeping the same payroll.
I know, that's insane. Yeah. I can't believe we're not... I guess it's got to come from the Saudis not wanting to let players go when their season's still going as well, but...
But they don't want to play.
What's
there,
more
though?
Important, though? We've got, you know what I mean? Their owners have got to look at that. We're the same owners and be like, oh, we'll keep, hypothetically, we'll keep Benzema, we can win the Saudi League again. Mint, or we'll give them the Newcastle and they could get top five and maybe win the FA Cup. Well, that's going to be more beneficial than fucking let them win the Saudi Pro League.
Yeah, I know they don't want to let them leave, but the players have to have their demands as well. Like, the players don't want to play there. And for them, it's an absolute win-win. If they get to keep their same contract, then go to like a top 10 Premier League team, they're probably happy. Like, sound, I'll go to Newcastle. We'll try and compete for the top four, if not get top six. I'll still keep me £3 million a week wages. Lovely.
Lovely.
Now I'm going to play Al-Shabaab and Steven Gerrard playing at fucking 300 fans.
That's awful.
Yeah, it's absolutely lifting. Like, at least if you come to Newcastle, you get to play like your Man City's, your Liverpool's, your Chelsea's, Man United's. Like, it's much better than playing, I don't know, Qatar FC. Like, I don't know. Lifting.
It's mine, isn't it? A couple of last questions then from Fizzy Sausage. Great name, isn't it? Fizzy Sausage. You ever tried a fizzy sausage before?
I haven't. I do like a sausage. I've tried many varieties, but
you
not
do
the
like
fizzy,
a fizzy
one.
Drink as well. So
mix it together.
There you go. There's your next sausage.
Battered sausage and iron brew.
Ooh.
Get that in you.
What's your thoughts on Isaac? We were better up front with the makeshift strike force. Don't know about that. Like, even though the second half did do well, Gordon did well down the middle. McGee performed on the left. Murphy got the goal/own goal, but. I'm good that he's injured.
Apparently,
for 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Isak? I think he's probably our best player.
Right.
So
elite striker.
Scores a lot of goals. So yeah, I think highly of him. Very, very highly.
Very, very.
And I wish he wasn't so injury prone.
Wish he could sort his fitness out. Last one then. What about free agents like Lingard
absolutely
for the rest
not.
Of the season? Don't need wingers. Got enough of them. Barnes just come
two
back.
2 years ago, I absolutely would have taken Lingard. After his loan spell at West Ham, I was craving him. To be honest, I was absolutely begging for him, but. After his failed spell, massive, ridiculous contract at Forest, fell flat on his arse, barely played a game.
Deserved it.
Absolutely shit. I wouldn't touch him with a barge pole.
No, I'm surprised he hasn't went like a Saudi or something, to be honest.
Well, he went training there, didn't he? Like, he was training in
with
Saudi.
With Gerard, was it?
Someone. I didn't even have the names of the Saudi teams. I couldn't give a shit. But yeah, he was. He was training with them, but I don't think he ever got a contract.
No.
Why not?
That shows something.
Why didn't he get a contract with a Saudi team?
To everyone, aren't they?
Literally, unless he was demanding like £90 million in wages.
Do you know who I am? Show them clips from like Euro 2014 and then.
Show them his dances, that best dance moves. Look what I can bring. Look what I can offer.
My dears, man. But now I don't need more wingers. But any free agents that are strikers,
I'll take it. Ooh, Anton, love him.
Bring him back. Right, then that'll do for this week.
Yeah.
Anything else? No,
that's good. So.
1 hour on the dot will be 70. Lovely. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you to the people that are listening as well on the old audio. We are available on all the podcast platforms. So those that aren't watching us or still listening to us, you can get us on Spotify, Apple, and everywhere else that you listen to your podcasts on. We are on there as well. So cheers. We'll see you next week. Remember, it is a weekly podcast. Tuesdays at 7.
Apart from this one.
Because of the Villa game. Thankfully, yeah. Going forward. Apart from the FA Cup when that comes round, we'll be doing them on a Wednesday. Well, we never know. We'll maybe Wednesday. It'll be Tuesday or a Wednesday against Blackburn,
yeah.
Won't it? So
we'll
fill you in on that. But
we'll figure it out.
Normally, on a week-to-week basis, it will be Tuesdays, live and direct at 7 p.m.
In your ear.
Thanks very much, people, for watching and listening. Subscribe to Magpie Channel TV, and we'll see you on the next one. Enjoy yourself.